today we want to focus on this title, Love Harms No One. Love harms no one. If you're harming somebody, it's not love. Amen. Today we want to explore this idea, being transformed into the image of Christ means being governed daily by Christ-like love, because love harms no one. All of God's commandments are covered by one commandment. Ephesians 5:1 says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Imitate God? Yay. That's what we're told to do. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us. To imitate God is to walk in love and love for people. Love for people. Love for the unlovable. And it says, as Christ has loved us and given himself for us. He loved us enough. He sacrificed his life for us. And that's what agape love, and that's the word used here. That's what agape means, is to sacrifice yourself for others. Self-giving love, sacrificial love. We're told to imitate God by walking in love as Christ did. Christ loved us and gave himself for us, and we need to be willing to sacrifice our lives for others. And during these holidays, it's a good time to apply this to your family. You know, there's a lot of people, demonized secular humanist Marxists, encouraging people to go to see their family and bless them out if they didn't vote the way they thought they should, or attack their family if they don't line up with their opinion. Listen, let me tell you something. I have a right to my opinion. But I don't have to fight over it and ruin Thanksgiving and Christmas over it. Can you say amen? You have a right to your opinion, but if it's causing it's causing hatred or causing distrust or causing division, it's of the devil. It's not up to you to straighten other people out, especially when it comes to politics. Who I vote, how I vote is none of your business. How you vote is none of my business. Yay. And I'm not going to fight with my family if some of them disagrees with me. We're going to love each other and care for each other and protect each other and keep our mouths shut. Amen. Can you say amen? That's the best advice you're probably going to get anytime soon. Of course, all of this is good advice today. Jesus was asked, which is the greatest commandment? Matthew 22:37, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. That is the first commandment. If you love God, you will obey him. You'll keep his commandments. Jesus Christ said that. If you love me, keep my commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And if we love God the way we're supposed to, then we have to keep the second commandment. Love your neighbor. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. As yourself. As yourself. You see, that's what motivates Linda Deering and the people that work with her in Servants Hope. They're motivated to love people, help people, bless people. There's no other reason to do it. She's not paid to do it. I'm paid to be nice. She's just paid nothing. You see, I live off of tips. People designate money to me if I'm nice to them. That's one way to keep the preacher being nice. You designate. It's kind of like tipping. I live off of tips. I have to be nice. But Linda's nice because she just wants to help people. Actually, I could probably make more money doing something else. Well, I could make more money if I just take it. But we give a lot back to the church. But I do care about people, and I'm not preaching this for money. Can you say amen? Amen. But we are to love each other and care for each other regardless. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. You can't keep the first one without keeping the second one, because you're commanded to love people. And that's everybody, all colors, all shades, get all creeds, all coats. You even have to love the Methodists. Can you say amen? You see, all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. That's what Jesus said. Verse 40. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. That's what the Lord said. Love your neighbor as yourself. And as we saw last week, Jesus gave us a good example of how to be a good neighbor. This lawyer of the law of God. He was supposed to know it forwards and backwards, and he says, well, who is my neighbor? And Jesus gave him this example, the Good Samaritan. He told the story of the Good Samaritan who found a Jew robbed, beaten, and left for dead. And this Jew, of course, was his enemy. Jews and Samaritans did not like each other. They didn't get along. So, verse 34, he says, he, the Samaritan, went to him, the Jew, and bandaged his wounds. I did this last week, so I'm abbreviating it, but I want to put this back into this message today because it is the key to it. It shows you the kind of neighbor we're supposed to be. And so he took this Jew, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And he told the innkeeper, abbreviating a little bit, verse 35, take care of him, and I will repay you. When I get back, I'll pay you every dime that you spent taking care of this Jew. Then Jesus said, go and do likewise. Now that's what we're supposed to be doing. That's what Americans are supposed to be doing. It's to spewing all this hate. And this nation will never be truly blessed again. I don't care who we elect. It's never going to be truly blessed again until we get back to the Word of God and start loving each other and caring about each other instead of worrying about our opinion. And trying to force our opinion and our beliefs on someone else. And that's what's going on in this country. If you don't agree with certain people, they hate you and call you names, attack you. Listen, just mind your own business. I have a right to, this is America still, and I do have a right to believe anything I want to believe, say anything I want to do, and do anything I want to say, anything I want to say, do anything I want to do, as long as it's legal. You say amen. And this nation, these universities are training people to hate people. And we all know that's true. And this nation will never be blessed until we start loving our neighbor and doing everything we can to help them, just like the Good Samaritan. Romans chapter 13, verse 8, no one, and don't misunderstand, I'm not mad. Nobody's made me mad. I hadn't any family member, anybody attack me on anything. I'm just looking at the nation, and I just realized this nation cannot be blessed as long as we hate each other. Our enemies need to see our nation stand together as one man. What do you think? When they see us hating each other, what do you think they think about us? They think they're weak and we can take them. That's what they think. Romans chapter 13, verse 8, owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. If you love people, you keep the whole law. Why? Love harms no one. And the commandments are given to keep us from harming each other. Well, the Ten Commandments are not relevant. They most certainly are, because if we'll obey them, we won't hurt each other. Now look at this. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery. If you love someone, you're not going to commit adultery with her wife, her husband. Can you say, I won't do that because it hurts people. You shall not murder. I don't have to explain to you that destroys a person forever. You shall not steal. You want somebody stealing your car? Don't steal anyone else's. If you love people, you're not going to steal from them. You're going to be trying to give to them. You shall not bear false witness. If you love people, you're not going to tell lies on them. Amen. And thou shalt not covet. Now, it's okay to desire someone's car if you're willing to pay for it. But to covet or to lust after something with the intention of taking it without paying for it or without doing what is right, covet, that implies evil in the heart. And if we have evil in your heart, it's going to hurt people. And if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, this is St. Paul, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. These commandments, when broken, do harm to people. And verse 10, love does no harm to a neighbor. Read that with me. Love does no harm to a neighbor. If you show up at Thanksgiving dinner and cause a big fight, that's doing harm. Shame on you. You're in rebellion against God Almighty, and God can't bless you. Love does no harm to a neighbor. God knows who needs what. I don't know. I'm just preaching. Yay. Not aiming at anybody. Nobody's hurt my feelings. I'm just telling you, this is what the book says, and God told me to get up here and preach on it again, and here I am. Also, I went to mission field when I was 20 years old, and I was thinking I might like to be a missionary, and I was thinking about maybe a missionary to Spain. And after I got back, the Lord spoke to me and said, I hadn't called you to be a foreign missionary. I've called you to America. And so sometimes I'm preaching to America. I really am. And you say, well, you don't have a very big platform. Well, I got you to help me spread the word. And I don't need a big platform. I just need to preach it and pray the right people hear it and spread it. Can you say amen? But I'm called to America, and mostly through intercessory prayer. I pray for this country all the time, and I see things change and direct results of my prayer. I am called to America. So sometimes I'm preaching to you, but I'm preaching to more than you. So what's wrong with that preacher? He's beating us up. This message is aimed really for America. And you can help me spread it. We have to get back to being good Samaritans. You can tell people, if we all were good Samaritans, there'd be no crime. We wouldn't need any policemen. If we all loved each other, we wouldn't be stealing from each other, raping each other, committing bad things to each other. People talk about racial things. Do you know most white people that raped and murdered by white people? And most black people raped and murdered by other black people? You know what that is? Sin and rebellion against God. So it's not race that's our problem. It's a black heart, an evil heart. What God wants is us to love people out of a heart of love. If you're truly born again, you can't hardly help yourself. If you're truly born again, the first fruit of that is love. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, love. Let's get our hearts right. You shall love your neighbor as yourself, and you should be able to love your dad and your mama no matter what they've done to you. That doesn't mean you're going to let them do it again, but at the same time, you still love them. My daddy about destroyed my life by cussing me and calling me names, but at the same time, I have always loved the guy. He died a long time ago, but I never hated that man. I always loved him. I always prayed for him. I go out to see him and pray for him. You shall love your neighbor and your dad and your mama and your brothers and your sisters as yourself. These commandments, when broken, do harm. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Racism, hate, and slander does great harm. The way we fulfill the law is by loving others. Love does not harm anyone. Love helps, and the love will get down in the ditch and help a white person, black person, Hispanic person, Asian person, Jew, or gay person, transgender person. We're to love. Not we don't have to agree with their lifestyle, but if you love them, you're going to care about them, and you're going to help get them out of the ditch. Breaking God's law always hurts someone. Love one another. You see, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. Why? Love does no harm. Preaching all this hate is doing great harm to homes, to families, to individuals. You see, good things happen to those who love others and reject hate. Why? Hate brings curses. If you hate someone, you're going to live under a curse. It's just the way it is. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 15, "And the Lord will take away from you all sickness and will afflict you with none of the terrible diseases of Egypt, which you have known. But listen, but will lay them on all those who hate you." All the curses mentioned in the Bible, it says God brings upon those, or allows to come upon those who hate people. Especially hate Christians. Because that's what he's really talking about. But he hate anyone. But will lay them on all those who hate you. This says God will lay curses on those who hate us. And if we hate somebody, it's going to bring bad things on us. And I don't care who they are. It might be an ex of some sort. It might be a brother or cousin or somebody's done you harm. Somehow you got to forgive them and forget that and love them. That doesn't mean you're going to let them do it again. But you carry no grudges. You let that thing go. This says God will lay curses on those who hate us. People who hate others will face God's judgment just as the Egyptians did. Look what happened to them. God annihilated them. Avoid those who are full of hate. Don't listen to those people. John chapter 8, verse 44. "You are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning." Guess who's behind all this hate? Slewfoot. He's using hate to destroy families and homes and churches, especially churches. One reason there's so many churches in Knoxville is because people get mad at each other, get in a big fight, and split and start another church. Somehow that cannot be the right way to start a church. "He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies." People who hate and lie share the same father, Satan, the devil. The desire of Satan is for us to hate each other. He's working overtime to find something to cause us to be mad at each other, despise each other, hate each other. And Christians, it's not always hate, but it's selfishness and self-centeredness. I want my way, and I'm going to have my way if it hurts people. Now, that is wrong. You see, we cannot overemphasize 1 John 3:15. "Anyone who hates his brother," I know this was the main scriptures last week, "anyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life in him." America is being destroyed by hate right now. And who would have thought so many Americans hated Jews? All this rioting all over America, and mostly secular humanist Marxists on these universities, hating Jews. And I'm talking about American citizen Jews. I'm not talking about Jews in some foreign country or Israel. They were actually attacking Jewish people in America all over this country just about a few months ago. What in the world has happened to America? It's not the country I grew up in. You see, love is opposite to hate. If we say we love God and destroy the reputation of a brother with slander, we're liars. He says, you don't love people if you hurt them. Amen. I'm just reading the Bible. I don't always like reading it, but got to do it. And that is what we do when we call people names without proof. It's just common practice to stay around and start calling everybody racist. He's a racist, she's a racist. Listen, you hear somebody say that, you need to ask them, can you prove they're racist? And not just that. You know, they're bad people. You know, they do all kind of bad things. We need to start asking people, can you prove those things? When you hear people calling names, ask them if they can prove it. When we hear people calling names, we need to ask them to prove it. Calling people bad names can destroy. Really, we can destroy each other with our tongue. You can commit murder with your tongue. If you destroy somebody's reputation, you destroy their ability to make a living, you just murdered them in the eyes of God. I don't know if this is making you nervous or not, but it's making me nervous. Okay. I want to be sure I love people. How about you? If we love people and prioritize their interests, God will take care of our interests. Get that. If I want to be blessed, I need to help you be blessed. And it takes a lot of nerve sometimes to get up here and preach a message like this, but I know all these messages on healing and deliverance and miracles and faith are not going to do any good if we cancel all of God's blessings out by not loving people. Amen. The message last week from the Word of God says everything is vain if we do not love people. You see, Ruth was from a different race, and this is a great example. She's a great example. But she loved and served her Jewish mother-in-law. Ruth was a Moabite, and Naomi was a Jew. After their husbands died, Naomi and her husband went down to Moab because there's a drought, famine in Israel. And they went there, and their two sons married Moabite women. And this one guy married Ruth, and he died, and then Naomi's husband died. And the other son of Naomi died. And so you have three widows. And Naomi says, I'm going back to Israel, so you girls go back to your family. And Naomi told Ruth to go back to her Moabite family because she was returning to Israel. The one daughter-in-law went back. And Ruth said in Ruth chapter 1, verse 16, urge me not to leave you or to turn back from following you, for where you go, I'll go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. You see, these are two different races, Moabite and Jew. But they're getting along just fine. Yay. Can you say amen? And that's the way it has to be. Verse 17, where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. We need to have that kind of love for each other that we're going to support each other and stand by each other no matter what. And this church wouldn't be here, but there's several people in this church over these 45 years that stood by me and been my friend, you know, and helped me, encouraged me, or there wouldn't be a church here. I don't start calling names, but we still have a bunch of people who've been here 40, 45 years, and they've been holding my arms up and helping me. They don't ever get discouraged with me. They just keep holding me up. Can you say amen? And a lot of others have been here 10 years, 20 years. And it's that kind of love and support that makes good things happen. For you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. You see, they moved to Israel, and Ruth worked in the fields to support her aging mother-in-law, Naomi. Ruth became a good Samaritan to a Jew. She didn't have to love her. She could have went back to her family. In Ruth chapter 2, verse 10, I just want to show you what happens when you love people. Ruth met Boaz, the richest man in town. And she wound up working in one of his fields with all of his workmen. And she was gathering the grain they dropped. And they would allow needy people to come and gather up the grain that was dropped, and they could have it. And Ruth was out there gathering up grain to help support Naomi. And Ruth meets Boaz, the richest man in town. Why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner? He was taking notice of her because of God. God was wanting to bless her. She was of a different race. Verse 11, Boaz replied to her, all that you've done for your mother-in-law after the death of your husband has been reported to me, and how you left your father and your mother and the land of your birth and came to a people that you did not previously know. Verse 12, may the Lord reward your work and your wages be full from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge. He said, God's going to pay you great wages because you have taken care of a Jewish lady. Just think of all the curses that people brought upon themselves by attacking Jews in this country. The Word of God says plainly, I bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. You curse a Jew, you got a curse coming. I think that applies to Christians too. You curse a Christian, we're God's people. You curse a Christian, you got a curse coming on you. These crazy secular humanist Marxists, they're really setting themselves up for disaster. And we need to pray they'll get saved before it's too late. We're here to get people saved, not to run them down, beat them up. But we have to recognize when people are off track and try to pray them back on track. He said, this is the way to be blessed, is blessing others. Then she said, I have found favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and indeed have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your servants. I'm not like you folks. I'm from a different race. I'm not Jewish. I'm a Moabite. You see, because she operated in love, God gave her one of the wealthiest men in the country to be her husband, and it happened to be the guy Boaz. Also, and it wasn't just that he fell in love with her, it was a kinsman redeemer thing that was in the law that they lived by. And so he wound up being the kinsman redeemer, and it was really his obligation to take her and marry her. And God set that all up for a Moabite. If he can set her up, he can set you up. If we'll obey him and serve him and love people, he can set us up. I love my daddy no matter what he did, and God set me up to be blessed. I'm one of the most blessed people in my family. And I'm a preacher of all things. Also, she became the great-grandmother of King David. Even though she was of a different race, they were not supposed to have anything to do with Moabites. But boy, when she started loving the Jews, God blessed her. She brought a blessing on herself, and she became the great-grandmother of King David, the greatest king who ever lived, especially in Israel. I was thinking about white privilege. And the Lord said to me, I've said this a few times before, and he said again, he spoke to me, he said, you do not need white privilege. You have God privilege. Listen, you need to think like that. If you're white, black, Hispanic, Jew, think like that. If you're serving God, you got God privilege, just like Ruth had. God set her up. How many of you know you have God privilege? If you have God privilege, you do not need white privilege. I was poor white trash, but I had God privilege and didn't even know it. You see, Ruth had God privilege. The minds of some of our young black people are being poisoned. People say, you cannot be successful because of systemic racism or white privilege. You see, this is a satanic lie because we have God privilege. Amen. Some of our young black people in this church, I mean, they're going to be multimillionaires if they keep going. And I'm so proud of them. Man, they're doing great things. Amen. And they don't like me bragging on them, but they're doing great. Yay. Do not listen to liars and haters. Stay away from them. Their lies will make you think you cannot when you really can. You can make it, and you will make it. Amen. If you'll be like Ruth and love every race, every person. If a Moabite like Ruth can marry the richest Jewish man in town and become the great-grandmother of a Jewish king, you can do all things through Christ. I've been saying that since high school. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. That's where my God privilege comes from. Your mouth has a lot to do with it. Well, everybody's got their foot on me and holding me down. Everybody gets in my way. I hear more white people saying that than anybody. Listen, nobody can hold you down if you'll serve God and obey God. You can make it. Aim for the top. No person can hold you down, but hate can. And a bad attitude can. Amen. Feeling sorry for yourself can. Amen. See, love not only does not harm, it does good. The Samaritan getting down in that ditch and helping that Jew, that was a good. Love does good. We need to be looking for opportunities to do good for needy people who are worthy. I don't go around and try to help every homeless person, because for me to help you, you got to be willing to help yourself. Love people. I mean, I want to help everybody, including the homeless, but I've tried helping them, and they go right back. They won't change. You got to be willing to change for somebody to help you. White people experience racism too, and it's never an excuse. But love does good, not harm. A car driven by a black girl nearly ran over my oldest daughter, the one that became Miss Tennessee, as she's walking across the parking lot, a parking lot at a mall, and she jumped out of the way just in time. As the girl drove by, she yelled out the window, "I do not stop for white people." Now, that's not love. That's doing harm. See, she tried to kill someone who loves and helps black people. If you're going to kill someone, kill the bad guys. Don't go after us who really love each other, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, Jews, all colors. So, well, on the second thought, just don't harm anybody. But certainly, you want to be able, as I said last week, to recognize the people who love you, because they will give you an advantage. They'll help you. Amen. But here's the answer to hate, 1 John 3:16. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Life is too short for us to go around hating each other. We need to be watching for opportunities to be a good Samaritan. You see, we're not going to slander someone they were willing to die for. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to, say ought to, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. In a sense, I'm laying down my life by preaching the gospel, because there's other things I wanted to do, but because God wanted me to preach the word of God, I decided, okay, I'll preach the word of God, because hopefully I'm helping a few people. See, if we love someone, we will help them, verse 17. But who, and it takes a lot of love to get up here and preach some of these things. Yay. You have to love people enough to take a chance on them getting mad at you. But whoever has the world's goods, listen, and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Verse 18, little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. You see, we must show our love by being a blessing. And I can't tell you how much it blesses me to see you bringing all this food in and supporting Johnny's dinner and giving all this money to help the pantry. And I'm so proud of Rick and Diane. They put together like 100 boxes or more. And I know times that they fixed up to 140 boxes. One time I think they gave 140 away. Can you imagine that? I mean, loving people and helping people you've never seen before in your life. That's who you are. That's why I'm so proud of this church. I mean, it really amazing just to think about that. 100 more or less cars lined up coming in to pick up a box of food, and you provided it. What's that called? Give me one word. What is it? Love. Care about people. Is that not what he says? But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? How can you say you love people and you won't give them a biscuit? Verse 18, little children, Let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. As a preacher, I learned a long time ago, don't listen to what people say. Watch what they do. They come up to give you a big old hug. Oh, I love you. And they got a knife in their hand. Don't believe what they're saying. Don't believe them. Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. We must show our love by being a blessing. Many people are quick to talk love, but true love is revealed through action. Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. We are to hate sin, even though the world demands that we tolerate it, but we have to hate it. We hate sin because why? It hurts people. Sin is breaking God's law. That's what it is. Sin is not some smut you run into and get it all over you. It's breaking God's law. When we break God's law, we hurt people. So we don't hate people. We love people. Verse 10 says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. You see, love gives the first place in line to another. Verse 13, share it with God's people and who are in need. Practice hospitality. See, this is what love looks like. Romans 15, verse 2 says, each of us should please his neighbor for his good. Listen, to build him up. Love doesn't just be kind. Love builds people up. It acts. It does something. It helps poor Christians. It helps poor people that are willing to work. It gets under the load and helps carry it. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good to build him up. If we sacrifice for others, God will take care of us. Hate what is evil. Do what is good. All of God's commandments are summed up in one. Love your neighbor as yourself. Those who preach hate serve as instruments of Satan. Love not only does not harm people, love builds people up. Let's stand.